tour brought you to the Port Tobacco River last December. In your audit report, it says pollution in the Port Tobacco River mostly comes from stormwater runoff. What are the main sources of stormwater pollution in the river, and what can be done to reduce it?
Well, there's a number of things that can be done, but the important thing about the Port Tobacco River is that stormwater runoff is going to increase and not decrease as the county continues to grow in population. The Port Tobacco River is, 8.5 miles of it goes through the Charles County, beginning a few miles north of La Plata and traveling south to the Potomac River. So as growth continues in Charles County, which is one of the fastest growing counties in the state, stormwater management is going to continue to be important because we need to make sure that as new development comes to the county, to the extent it does, that stormwater runoff is considered and make sure that it doesn't just drain right into the Port Tobacco, because that is what's called non-source pollution, and it's in some ways the most difficult kind of pollution to control. Developed land is about 23% of the land adjacent to the Port Tobacco River. Agriculture is another source of pollution, and then the other sources sort of combine with it. But we need to make sure that we control the runoff, and the stormwater management is critical to that.
Okay. Charles County has historically encouraged sprawl growth across much of the county, but there now seems to be a strong movement in the county to reverse course and steer future development to areas where there's already infrastructure in place. First, do you support a move to smart growth in Charles County? And second, how can smart growth help clean up a polluted river like the Port Tobacco River?
Well, smart growth is essential for two reasons, and I do support it, of course. One is the environmental impact is essential to make sure we have smart growth for the reasons you said. I mean, the infrastructure, when you talk about infrastructure in the environmental context, you're also talking about sewage and the ability to get sewage and runoff through a wastewater treatment plant before going into the water, as opposed to septics and other and runoff problems that you incur when you don't have smart growth. And the second is one of the reasons why Charles County is such a popular spot right now in terms of growth is because it's a beautiful county, and there's a lot of natural land, there's a lot of wetland, there's a lot of open space there. And if you don't control the growth in terms of smart growth, it becomes less of a good place to live, including traffic and other issues that grow. So yes, smart growth is critical, it's important, and we need to make sure that we look at that in terms of our zoning in the future.
Recently, the Maryland Department of Planning blasted a proposal by our local planning commission to create a new zone in Port Tobacco. The proposed zone would increase the allowable home density by up to 9 times near the Port Tobacco River. Here's the question. Do you agree that the building of hundreds of new homes is probably not the best way to clean up an already polluted Port Tobacco River?
Well, the addition of 1,500 homes adjacent to the Port Tobacco River or nearby the Port Tobacco River would obviously create environmental endangerment. And it would be, the Port Tobacco River is something we should not give up on. In fact, it has an amazing potential to be cleaned up if we have political courage and political will to do so. But if you allowing 1,500 new homes put next to it would create an additional challenge. While maybe not insurmountable, would make it that much more difficult. That's the precise reason why we have critical areas laws, for example, that we want to try and keep new development as far away from the river as we can so that what is adjacent to the river is natural and not man-made pollution sources.
One of the things that distinguishes you is that you've used the Office of Attorney General to do some aggressive environmental enforcement on behalf of the citizens in the Chesapeake Bay. What was your motivation for deciding to do this?
Well, I've been a prosecutor for, 18 years now, and what when I decided to run for Attorney General in the first place, I thought, you know, why do I want to do this? What can I do with the job of the Attorney General that I couldn't do as a federal prosecutor, as the state's attorney? And that, one of the things is to really protect our natural resources for our kids and our kids' kids. And, you know, the environment is an interesting issue because over time now it's become more of a bipartisan issue. I actually view it from a pro-business standpoint. You know, if the Chesapeake Bay is so polluted as it's become recently that human beings themselves can't go in the water because of the pollution, then that is going to carve deeply into our tourism industry. Not to mention what used to come out of the bay. You know, half the oysters in the whole world used to come from the bay, and now it's about 3% in the United States. You know, it's what is used to be in the bay is dying. It's a huge source of income for Marylanders. It's there's traditional generational people who grew up around the water, who used to be watermen and oystermen and so forth, that are no longer there. And so we need to protect the bay. We need to clean the bay for our economy, if nothing else, not to mention, obviously, the environment, which is essential. So I looked at this job as a prosecutor's job in some way, which is prosecuting polluters, going after the bad people, going after the people who are actually killing the bay since John Smith was there. Look, we're not going to get back to where John Smith was. It's not going to be a situation where you can put a frying pan over the water and the fish will literally jump into it. But we certainly can get back to where we were 50 years ago, as long as we are willing to dedicate financial services to the bay and dedicate some money to it, but also an even equally important, if not more important, is enforcing the laws that we have. We have the environmental laws in the books. We need to enforce those laws. As Attorney General, I've been able to do that. We've had the biggest water pollution case in the history of Maryland. We've had the biggest air pollution settlement in the history of Maryland. We've had the biggest environmental settlement in the history of the United States involving air pollution. So, you know, we've done a lot in these areas, and we need to continue to do more.